These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
This is part two of the Georgia Seagirl episode. And in the last episode, we talked with executive chef Tim Lynch and farmer Sam McPherson at Potlicker Farm and learned about their dedication to quality and how most of the ingredients are actually harvested from this farm and usually delivered to the restaurant the same day. How cool is that?
We have about 8 acres. We only do about 2 acres of production. We're a certified naturally grown market garden. And farm's kind of a misnomer for us because we're so small. We grow mostly seasonal vegetables. We do have some citrus trees and blueberry bushes planted as well. But right now, during the summer, we're growing things like tomatoes and squash, all the typical okra, onions, leeks, you know, basil, cucumbers, melons like you saw. So you can really see our production from seed all the way to the table.
Now, what we haven't talked about is the sea part of the Georgia Seagirl, which begs the question, where do they get their fish? And to do that, let's travel to the source, Sitilla Pond, a place that only a very select few get to visit.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands, strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Driving out to Sitilla Pond was almost empty. And then all of a sudden you go on this long sandy dirt road, and I was trying to make sure my car tires could handle it. But then when I get to the spot, I see the two lakes there. Start peeking to see if I could see the catfish, you know, brimming out of the water. But there was Eric fishing, cooler next to him. And I was like, this is gonna be a fun day.
We try not to invite too many people out here to know the whereabouts of the farm. They have to be either friends with Tim and I, or we invited a few of employees that Tim works with out here to help.
That's the voice of Sitilla Pond manager Eric Miller.
It's a long dirt road to get here.
Oh yeah, you actually took the shorter way.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go the other way, it's almost twice as long. I think the total length of the dirt road out here is like 13 miles or some jazz.
How about that?
But yeah, it's nice and out in the middle of nowhere.
This is the spot where most weekend mornings, Eric and executive chef Tim Lynch post up with their fishing gear and harvest catfish for the hungry patrons of Georgia Seagirl. One of them being me. And this is just something I love to mention. I go and meet these guys. I see them fishing. They're into what they're doing. They're seeing turtles along the base, right up along the grass, and they're catching fish at a pretty crazy rate. And these aren't just little fish, they're big fish. They're big catfish. And I can just see the enjoyment in their eyes when they're catching this. They're giving each other grief about letting one go. And that's what's fun. This is a Sunday afternoon gathering that their family members understand this is their job, to hang out with each other and catch fish. And that's the fun of it. That's the uniqueness of it. And that's the freshness of it, too. Because it goes right from that pond into the cooler, truck it over to the sea grill, and Chef Tim Lynch does his magic.
How often do you get out here fishing with Eric?
Every weekend.
Yeah?
Every weekend. Yeah. Seems like him and I have been through it. A lot of trials, tribulations, good days, bad days. Like I said, there's times where we fill the cooler up in an hour, 150, 200 pounds. Then there's been times out here where you come out here, no matter what you do, what you try, you're like 3 to 7 fish.
In the
that
rain.
Gets, yeah. In the rain, in the cold, rain. In the rain.
Yeah.
But him and I try to be out here every week. Normally knock out about 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I know I still have my daily duties to take care of, so does he. So it's a good time, good company, beautiful place. You get the fish.
Now, Eric first got involved with this operation through a connection with Sam at Potlicker Farm.
Before I was doing this, I was actually running an aquaponics farm, and Hurricane Matthew knocked us out, and I was sitting idling, bored, and Sam was like, hey, I think this is about the same time you started working with Tim at the Sea Grill, and I think that's when he's starting to make the transition to run a potlicker, and Zach mentioned something about a catfish pond. This was originally set up for you catch week clean operation, but I didn't run it. It was ran by Dr. Gowan, Zach's dad. And then, you know, Zach wanted, you know, to run catfish. So, you know, I started operating it for Zach. And
the fact that Satilla was already an established fish farm made the transition pretty easy.
Whenever you establish something, there's a lot of fluctuations with phosphates, nitrates, and it's more of like a consequence of having fish in a large area, because of course all through, you know, phosphates and nitrates, they do nothing but feed the plants. So you got to have a balance between, you know, the plants in the ponds as well as the fish. So the benefits was the ponds were established. There was a mature ecosystem that could support the fish.
And to not disturb that ecosystem,
I don't use any chemicals. I refuse to use any kind of chemicals in here to try to keep it as natural as possible.
Eric keeps this pond well stocked with the highest quality Georgia catfish.
What we just put in is about 40,000. And they're trained to feed in this spot every day. They sense the vibration of the truck. After I come in through the gate, I drive slowly all the way through the length of the entire pond, and you can see the bubbles pick up from the catfish churning up the bottom, and they're here ready to feed.
Eric's natural farming methods and regularly scheduled feedings have produced big, healthy fish, completely free of chemicals.
What we frequently pull out, this is about the average size, nice, thick, hybrid catfish, blue catfish crossed with a channel catfish. You can usually tell the age of them, because see how this one's got a little bit of freckles? The younger they are, the more dots they'll have. They'll look more like a channel catfish. But as you can see, when they grow out, they kind of look more like blue, and they lose their spots. So this is a good catfish. You can tell he's not overfed. You can tell by the belly. You can tell he's nice and thick, so he's getting the right amount of exercise, I guess you would say. Has no blemishes on him.
And how long until he's on the menu?
Oh man, this could be the fish you eat. So it's, I guess it depends on who comes in, the traffic that comes into the restaurant. The quickest I've heard Tim selling out is Tuesday. Sometimes it, you know, goes all week. So I think there's a following that keeps up and follows the catfish from the farm to the plate. I'm starting to get so hungry now,
well
just
done,
thinking about
well
it.
At times, this pond produces more catfish than Georgia Sea Grill can handle.
Well, when we first stocked the ponds, and we grew out the fish, the fish were actually putting on weight quicker than we anticipated. So the hybrids were supposed to reach market size about 18 months, but after having them in the ponds and with the environment and the feeding routine, as well as what's available for them when I'm not around to feed them, they were packing on the weight. And we were so confident that we had a nice population within the ponds, we were selling them to other people. And Tim kind of dealt with that. You know, I just kind of maintain and pretty much make sure that the ponds are secure and so forth.
Now, Eric and Tim harvesting these fish themselves was not the original intention. But when their first plan didn't work out, they were happy to pivot.
I guess you can say the business standpoint, like when all this became and we were like, all right, we're finding somebody, they're gonna come down here, they're gonna harvest, they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that. Eric's just gonna caretake, do his thing, grow fish, somebody's coming, they're gonna take care of everything. And then there was a hiccup and that was no longer an option. So now we have all these fish here. So we started coming down and line catching them and just banking ideas off of one another. How do we do this? Are we gonna drain this whole entire huge pond and then get down in it, sort fish? Is that gonna mess up the ecosystem? I mean, that's how they do it in Mississippi and all that other stuff, but you're looking at hard dirt bottoms, concrete bottoms.
Much shallower like ponds.
Traditional catfish farm, which this is not.
This is not.
You know, a huge learning process. It's a cool experience, and I'm 100% glad I've been a part of this. So,
no complaints here.
There's that.
Other than the rain, man. That cold rain in the winter is it's brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the baits used to catch these fish is a special one, formulated by Eric himself. Because of course it is. Did you expect anything else? The special bait resembles sliced up hot dogs dyed bright red with some sort of Kool-Aid-based brine. It looks that way because that's what it is.
So, man, tell me what this yummy stuff is. This isn't on the Sea Girl menu.
No, definitely not. Tim would not allow it. That was another situation that we ran into with was using baits that worked, you know, efficiently out here. At the peak or the prime when the ponds were at their best, sometimes the bait wouldn't even hit the ground before you had one on and we'd fill it the cooler in no time. So now the fish that are left over from the first couple of stockings, they're really finicky. Well, we kind of switched between brim, which is in the pond, you know, available for them to eat at any time they want, to these wonderful homemade hot dog bait. It's dyed from the Kool-Aid we put in it. Also, it's got garlic powder, it's got a little bit of fish sauce, and I vacuum seal it, and it's hot dog based. I vacuum seal it and leave it in my garage so it ripens. Tim won't even touch it. He only uses pliers to put it on his hook. He says it ruins his palate for garlic. Like he just.
It's not even that. He's ruined Kool-Aid and hot dog.
But it works. I personally like this bait compared to what we were using because your fingers don't smell for the rest of the day. So that's a plus. I'd rather them smell like garlic than, you know, roadkill.
We've used shrimp out here. I've used gulp shrimp out here. I've used gulp worms out here. We've just really been through it all. Hot dogs tried and true.
Fishing with Chef Tim is more than just quality time. It actually gives Eric the opportunity to learn exactly what the Sea Grill needs.
One of the benefits of us fishing by pole every week is, you know, the quality of freshness is at its highest. Every time we pull a fish, me and Tim pull a fish out. I'm like, hey, this is what you want. And he's like, yeah, this is what I need in the kitchen and so forth. And this is what I use them for. So I try to make sure that we have the size that benefits him because that's what the fish are inevitably going to.
Eric even gets to pitch to Tim with some menu items of his own. Admittedly, they don't always work out.
You ready for this one, Tim? Here's a new one. Got a turtle.
Whoa.
Usually we only catch him in the fish traps, but that dude, he took the bait. All right. Turtle soup tonight? Huh?
Not for me.
Not for you? Well, if we can get him out, I know someone will eat him.
Aggravating it is to clean a turtle.
Georgia Sea Grill owner Zach Gowan says operating two farms and a restaurant takes a whole lot of time and effort. But man, is it worth it.
It takes nurturing, it takes time, you know, with the catfish farm. I mean, we have to wait 18 months. And before that, we had to get the power out there. So it's like, it's not going to happen overnight. Same with farming. You know, obviously, you got to, plant the seeds and you have to you know, let it grow, and just takes time, you know, and with the organic and the elements, there's the risk is worth the reward.
And pond manager Eric, Zach found yet another partner who shared his passion for excellence.
Because the quality of fish is just, and I probably sound biased about this, but it's really top notch.
Like, stays hot on the menu, it must be good.
When Zach and I first talked about it, Zach's number one priority was quality. He wants the best that can be produced in a reasonable amount of time. And I like to think that quality is definitely up there, but quantity is something I'm going to work on and make sure that it's comfortably done for both Zach and I, as well as Tim. Ultimately, even though Zach is you know, my employer, this is the guy that I got to satisfy, because if he's not feeling good about it, then, you know, I'd hate to think that's going to take the passion out of what he's plating, you know, because any dish that this man produces, you can taste it. You can taste his efforts. I mean, it's outstanding.
And when Eric tasted what Chef Tim was doing with this catfish, he knew that they were into something truly special.
I remember the first time we went out to the Georgia Sea Grill and the catfish made it on the menu. And it's like, you think, you know, catfish and grits, it's so simple, but it's so complex the way Tim prepares it. It just tasted so good. It was so fresh. I mean, you're not going to get it any better than what you can get it at Georgia Sea Grill. I can't wait for you to try it. You're not going to forget it.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a new standard. The bar is going to be raised.
And with that glowing recommendation, let's head back to the kitchen at Georgia Sea Grill to see what Chef Tim is cooking up for tonight's dinner service. Okay, what are we doing today?
We're going to take a look at the catfish, both catfish dishes that I've come up with since we've started this venture with the catfish. One is a blackened taco. It has a serrano cilantro slaw, black beans from Rancho Gordo, and some lime pickle shallots. And then our fried catfish dish over grits, a tasso gravy, and some red pea salad that get from Potlucker Farms. Our entree, so fried catfish over grits, has a tasso gravy, and our Potlucker red pea salad.
This is what Sam showed me earlier.
Yeah, the red peas is kind of, I want to say that he took two different red pea strands, planted them. It's been a couple years now, so by now they're Potlucker red peas, and they're mighty tasty. So
that's gotta be fun.
Let's go fry up some catfish.
So you don't need much on each side.
No, we kind of give it a good sear, let them get a nice crust, flash them in the oven for just a moment. Be a real nice tender piece of fish.
So you sear it, that traps in all the moisture, and then the oven cooks the rest.
And they don't take long. A minute on each side and probably 2 minutes in the oven, and it's good to go. It's a thin piece of fish. So buttermilk, Crystal's hot sauce, and celery seed.
Simple.
This gives it a little extra flavor, tender it up just a tad more. Not that it needs it, but did need something to stick to the breading.
Catfish is a big thing on the menu. I know for sure it's fresh.
It's fresh, as fresh as can be, man. And you know, a lot of days on Monday, you're eating what I caught on Sunday. So there's always that chance.
Now, one thing I neglected to mention out on Satilla Pond, I did a little fishing of my own. What we have today, there's a small chance it's my catfish, but I'm just going to say it's mine.
It's your catfish, man.
Okay.
It's your catfish.
All right. You singled out my catfish.
I did.
All right. You caught the biggest, but maybe I caught the best. Is that what we're cooking today?
There we go. Yes, absolutely.
Now that we've seen how this whole thing comes together, there's just one part of this epic adventure left to do. The tasting.
This is the best part, man.
This is for you, my friend.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, I gotta get a little of everything. Potlucker peas.
Don't be scared.
My catfish. Some Satilla Ponds. And some Freeman's grits.
It's outrageous.
and I haven't had fishing grits like that before. I love the peas on top.
It's great, man.
Oh, yes, and that sauce. It all comes through, buddy. This is great.
Our time in coastal Georgia has been fun and an enlightening one. Big thanks to Chef Tim, Farmer Sam, Pond Manager Eric, and of course, Zach Gowan, the visionary behind this whole operation, for just letting me tag along.
Yeah, it's got to be, you put a lot of trust into the folks you work with.
With the farms, you know, providing the best tools for Eric and to Sam, and then it's like providing the best tools for Seagrill, providing the farms. It's all, you know, they're all interlinked.
It was great getting an inside view of what it takes to run a truly exceptional restaurant and learn what happens when people use their respective passions to collaborate on something bigger than themselves.
I mean, the restaurant's all about trust. Really, when it comes down to it, they trust us to feed them, and I trust them to pay us for the food. But we have a tactile farm that you can see, and you can see that we grew this, and that we can put it on their plate, you know, that this is who we are, that there's trust, and that this is for you.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR. These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.